This next series of messages between Easter and Pentecost. Pentecost just is one of the, we'll talk about it in more detail later on. It's one of the Jewish pilgrim festivals. It's 50 days after Passover, so it's 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And it's when the Holy Spirit really just, you know, came on the early church and empowered them for everything that God's doing in their lives. And so what we want to do over these next 50 days is focus on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take like the next 7 weeks, the next weekend messages, and focus on that. And we have a couple resources for you, just like the last time, of things that you can just grab on your way out the door until we run out, and then we'll order some new ones and print some new ones. But we've got a little glossy booklet that's just called The Holy Spirit. It's called The Road to Pentecost, which is this series of messages that we're doing. And then each week, we produce one of these little four-page little handouts that goes with that week's message. That's yours right there. You can have that one. That goes with that week's message. So that one's entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit? To grab those, they're right on that little information tree in the lobby. When you walk out the door, there's that stuff right there on that post. They're facing this way. Just grab one of those on your way out. Grab one of these. And then every week, there'll be like a new thing there. And we'll put the old ones out. So if you forgot one, you can grab all of those on your way out the door. We really want, my whole goal in doing this, the whole reason we're doing this, is I want each of us to experience the Holy Spirit in tangible ways. Like as this is my longing as a pastor of this community. I want you to experience the presence of God. I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. Now that brings up all sorts of thoughts and ideas and questions for people. So today I want to try to answer a bunch of those. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering, transformative, and dynamic presence. And so why is it so important to me as a pastor that you have an experience with the Holy Spirit, not just once or twice, but really like every day of your life? Why do I want each of us to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit? Well, here's one of the reasons why. First of all, as a church community, we don't want to be like a one instrument band. I love the drums. Like they're amazing. Like I get to hit stuff. It's so much fun. And kind of keep the time of the band. But if that's all you have, like even for me, it's a little boring after a while, right? And so like you need all the instruments there. We want to be like a full, you know, fully instrumented orchestra, if you will. Like we want to do all the things that God has called us to do as a church in the scriptures, right? It's really simple. I want to do the whole Bible. I think that's what a mature church should aspire to do. I think we should be excellent in our preaching, in our study, in our teaching of the Bible, the Word of God. I think we should be a fervently worshiping community, not just kind of singing some songs, you know, hands in the pockets, but actually really expressing our love and adoration to God. I think we should be understanding the work of the Holy Spirit, practicing spiritual gifts, like living in the fruit of the Spirit. I think we should be engaged missionally in our neighborhoods and all around the world. I think we should be concerned about everybody who lives in our community, no matter their ethnicity, race, gender, or age. I think we should be exercising all the compassion ministries, ministering to the sick and the elderly and those in prison. I just want us to do the whole Bible, not just our favorite parts. The stuff that we really like and the stuff that we find difficult, we're supposed to do the whole thing. If you want to know the vision for the vineyard, that's it right there. And then secondly, one of the reasons that we want to focus in on this is many of us have come to the vineyard, maybe more recently, and may not be real familiar with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives or in the life of the church. Some of us have come from other churches, and you might feel a bit confused, you know, about the Holy Spirit in general, or, you know, or like, and why we do certain things that we do here. And so it's important to bring us back into our understanding and practice of the Christian life. And an experience of God's presence is absolutely key to living the life Jesus has invited us to live. And the third reason I want to press through this is many followers of Jesus go through much of life completely detached from the presence of God. We're like those believers that we read about in Acts 19 that were in Ephesus. It reads like this. While Apollos was in Corinth, or was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. There's more to this? Awesome. How do we get in? So, because some of us live in that place, we want to press into this. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering, transformative, and dynamic presence. Now, honestly, this is a little difficult for us. A lot of the church, I would not consider Trinitarian. Trinity is the Christian name for God. A lot of the church is binitarian instead of Trinitarian, right? Jesus, we can relate to. Like, okay, Jesus, he was born, like he lived, he died, like we get all that. He was a person on the planet, we get that. Father God, that's a little harder. Depending on your relationship with your father, or, you know, it's like you don't really get to see him. We hear about him, but where's he at? The Holy Spirit? Are you kidding me? How do I relate to a spirit? Like when I was growing up, there was an old cartoon. Anybody remember Casper, the friendly ghost? You can probably YouTube it. Is he an Avenger? I love teasing you guys. It's awesome. Right? So here today, what we're doing is we're answering the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Let me cut right to the chase. The Holy Spirit is the experienced presence of God. The Holy Spirit is how we experience God's presence. It's how we experience God being with us now. Now, when I begin talking about an experience of God, some of us right away get a little nervous. When we begin talking about having an experience with God that goes beyond intellectual understanding, some of us get a little nervous, and that's all right. That's all right that we get a little nervous. There are some really good reasons why people don't have felt experiences with God. Maybe you come from a faith tradition that teaches, and many of us have been taught, that it's wrong, it's even dangerous to have an experience with God. Shortly after I became a follower of Jesus, I went to a really conservative college, and that's what they taught. Like, the folks who have experiences with God, they're wrong. It's probably a demon. Stay away. Like, ooh, dude, that got dark really fast. Where did that come from? Some of us were raised in homes where emotional control was so strong that you just didn't share any emotions. Like, you just didn't share any of that. Feelings were kind of off the table. The moment that you began to, like, show emotion or share feeling, like, it got shut down because you're not to be strong. You can't do that kind of thing. Or, on the other side of that scale, maybe you came from a family, from a background where emotions were just, like, wacko. They were, like, you never knew what to expect. They were flying all over the place. And so many of us, for that reason, have kind of learned how to shut down experience. I don't want to be like those people, or that's what it takes to be strong. Another reason that maybe we don't have felt experience with God in our lives, for some of us, there's something between you and God. Just like when there's something between one of my friends and I, when we've done something to offend one another, it kind of puts a little distance in the relationship, and you can't really share stuff. You don't feel that closeness. Right? If there is a point in our life where we're resisting God, it's kind of like a plug in the pipeline. It's kind of clogged up. It's stopped up. We need to actually clear that out before we can feel anything from God. And then finally, for some of us, you might not feel anything from God because you've never experienced what Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, that you have to be born again. Like, you have to surrender your life to him. That's what the picture next week of baptism is about. That we surrender our lives to God, and then we begin to experience his presence. It's interesting, throughout the scriptures, people generally didn't have to wonder whether God was present. Think of Moses at Mount Sinai. He didn't have to wonder, I wonder if God's really here, right? Or you think of the church in the book of Acts, chapter 2. I wonder if God's here. No, like a tornado came into the room, and it felt like an earthquake, and then they saw stuff. Like, you didn't have to wonder whether God was in the room. And so my prayer for us over these next 50 days, that as a community, as individuals, as families, as friends, that we press into this together and that we learn what a healthy experience of the presence of God is really like. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering, transformative, and dynamic presence. And you and I desperately need God's presence in our lives. You might not know it yet, but you can't live without the presence of God if you're trying to follow Jesus. So let me show you a little bit what I mean from the scriptures. If you have a Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I want to show you how, like, right at the beginning, the Holy Spirit shows up. And I want you to look at it like in the scriptures. And so you can turn to it on your phone. You can grab one of the Bibles in front of you. It's really easy. You just got to get through like the intro. And you're going to find like Genesis 1:1. It's going to be right there, right at the very beginning. It's where the book starts. You guys should be really thankful. I'm not preaching all the way through to Revelation, you know, chapter 21. That'd be a great message. We should just stay here. You guys got time? All right, Genesis 1:1. We see that the Spirit of God shows up right at the beginning of the story here, right at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Look at that, right at the very beginning. That's the Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit, is hovering over the whole thing. Right? The word that's translated spirit, it would be the Hebrew word is ruach, and it just simply means breath or the wind, like the breath of God that comes from him. And so the first thing we learn right here about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is not some Star Wars impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is God's personal presence. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. In fact, God, through his word and his Spirit, created everything. Everything that's been created, he created. In fact, what we see from the scriptures is that God is the only uncreated being. Like, that's pretty powerful, because if you just did I'll geek out here for just a second. If you just did a little bit of research into ancient Mesopotamian creation stories, like what was around when this was written, they all worshiped creation. Like, worship the sun, the moon, the stars. Like, all of them had names and all of them had powers. And what's really cool is when it gets to the stars in chapter 1, it's almost an afterthought. And, oh yeah, God created the stars too. Like, what was worshiped in that culture is an afterthought in Genesis chapter 1. God's the only uncreated being, right? In this narrative, all of nature has been created, and only God is divine. And the word created here is a Hebrew word. It would be pronounced bara. And it's used in the Old Testament. When it's used in the Old Testament, it's a verb, bara, and it means to create out of nothing. And it only ever has one subject. There's only one subject that ever like does this work, and it's God in the scriptures. It's like, so God's the one who creates out of nothing. What's so cool is he doesn't need any raw materials. You and I, we're going to create something. I'm going to bake bread, or you know, I'm going to make music or whatever. Like, I need raw materials to work with. God needs no raw materials, right? He just creates it out of nothing. And then the thing that we read here, the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep. The Hebrew phrase, I'm just going to geek out one more time with Hebrew. The Hebrew phrase for formless, empty is tuhu vabuhu. And it speaks of an empty wasteland, a wilderness. It speaks of nothingness. And above that wasteland, above the nothingness, the Spirit of God begins to flutter, to tremble, literally to vibrate. The Spirit of God begins to vibrate over the formless, dark emptiness, and then God speaks, that's the word of God, and whoosh, there's light. Like, the lights turn on. That's awesome. Like, I need a switch to do that. I need power to do that. And what we see here is the Holy Spirit is creating and recreating God's world and God's people. And you find that throughout the scriptures. When the Holy Spirit shows up, the Holy Spirit is creating and recreating and renewing and refreshing and reviving God's world and God's people. He's bringing form to what's formless. He's bringing fullness to what's empty. He's bringing order to disorder. And he can bring something out of nothing. And what he brings out of nothing is actually life that's bursting with life. That's what God brings out of nothing. The Spirit of God is God's active presence among us. He brings life by being with us. Like, that's a key thought. He brings life by being with us. It's the presence of God with us. This is where the whole idea of Trinity comes up. So if you try to read through the Bible and look for the word Trinity, you'll never find it. It was created somewhere between the 4th and the 6th centuries by the kind of the mothers and fathers of the ancient church. And they bring it up because they're trying to like take this biblical thing that we see throughout the scripture and put form to it. Let me show you what they're wrestling with. The Bible speaks really clearly that there's one God. The Bible talks about the unity of God. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." We see this in the New Testament as well. Paul writes to Timothy, "For there is one God." There's not multiple gods. But the Bible also speaks of the full personality and deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that each of these things is absolutely divine. Each of these parts of God is absolutely there. And I don't have the time to show you like all the different passages where God speaks of that. But one of the things where you begin to see like that God is plural and that God is singular is right here in this Genesis 1 passage. And so look at this again. Genesis 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right here, this verse of the Bible introduces us that God is community. So the word for God is a Hebrew word that's plural, and it's pronounced Elohim. Elohim is a plural word. The word for created, bara, I talked about, is a singular word. So generally, if you had like a plural people doing something, you would have a plural verb at the end of that, right? But it goes back and forth. It's like, so in the beginning, God, plural, created, singular, the heavens and the earth. And then you go down to chapter 1, verse 26, right here in Genesis. "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." God, plural, said, singular, "Let us make man in our," plural, "image after our," plural, "likeness." The Bible's jumping back and forth from singular to plural. Like, you'd get flunked out of English class if you did this. This is not the way that you write something on purpose. Right? Or by accident, however that might go. And it comes up again and again. Let me show you one more place. Isaiah 6:8. "Then I heard the voice," singular, "of the Lord," plural, "saying, whom shall I send," singular, "who will go for us," plural. It's like back and forth and back and forth. So what does that matter? Well, first of all, one of the ways that this really matters for us, the Trinity is actually our model for biblical community. They have Father, Son, Holy Spirit together in perfect intimacy, perfect community, supporting, encouraging, like absolutely loving one another. It's like that's our model for community. That's a whole different message. For this talk, it's important for us as followers of Christ because if the Holy Spirit is God, listen, we don't want to miss out on a third of God. Like it's really simple. It's like a three-legged stool, not a two-legged stool. Two-legged stools only work when the legs become wheels and then you go really fast down the road, right? you like that? That was, whew, I just made that up on the spot. Listen, one of the biggest promises throughout the scripture is the promise that God will be with his people. That's like one of the biggest promises, that God will be with his people. Like, that's the life that we long for. Remember Moses at Mount Sinai? God is choosing a people for himself, and he says this in verse 29, "Then I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God. And they will know that I'm the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell with them. I am the Lord my God. I am the Lord their God." So what's really cool is in John chapter 1, as John, the Apostle John's writing about Jesus, and he says that God, the Word of God, like made his dwelling among us. You can look at John 1:14. It's like what we see is that God longs to be with his people. And that's like his promise to us. And the presence of God is actually life to the people of God. Look at a little bit later here in Exodus 33, Moses, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Like he's making that promise, "I will be with you." And Moses just amps it up a little bit and says, "Listen, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us out of here. Like we don't want to live without your presence." Why? Because we know that we're toast without your presence. The people of God are toast without the presence of God. You remember like in Exodus 33 later on when Moses said, like, "I want more of an experience of your presence." His exact words, "I want to see your face." Like, I want your face to be right there. Like, could we do that? And God says, no, my face would destroy you. I am perfect in holiness. I'm perfect in every way. And Mo, you're not. And so me getting face to face with you, I'm like a towering inferno of purity and holiness. I would destroy you. Moses understood that, right? Listen, Jesus, what we just celebrated a week ago, came to die and destroy the barrier so the presence of God that was completely destructive to Moses could be something that you and I enjoy. Do you remember on Good Friday, right when Jesus died, there were a couple things that happened that we read about from the eyewitness accounts in the scriptures. Right when Jesus died, there was a darkness that kind of fell on the planet. Some say maybe it was an eclipse. Whatever it was, the lights turned out for a bit. And then there was an earthquake. And in the midst of that earthquake, there was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies, where God's presence lives in the temple, from like the rest of humanity. And that curtain, over years and years, had been added to and added to and added to, where historians would say it was probably somewhere between 12 and 24 inches thick. That's like a curtain. That's like a wall of a curtain. Imagine, just keep adding stuff to that until that thing is like, I don't know, 18 to 20 inches thick. And the Holy of Holies was like the place where God's presence was. Only the high priest went in there once a year. And if he didn't have all his sins confessed, if he wasn't like on the up and up, he died in there. They got to the point, Jewish tradition tells us, that they used to tie ropes around the high priest's ankle because nobody else is going to go in there to get him if he falls down. Like, if he dies, they're just going to haul him back out because you don't want to stink up the place. It's where God's presence is, right? So when Jesus dies, darkness falls, and there's the earthquake. In the Gospels, we read that that curtain was ripped in half. And they make special note that it was torn from top to bottom. It was almost like God himself said, because of the death of my son, I'm available. I'm available to you. The presence of God. It's like it's the thing that we long for, right? It's always personal. In fact, the most common term for the word presence in the Hebrew is panim, which is also translated as face. It's implying a close, a personal encounter with the Lord. Numbers 6:25, here's a great blessing. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. What do you picture when somebody's face is shining? I picture that they're smiling from ear to ear, right? The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. Which leads us to like just call out Psalm 51. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit is how you and I experience the personal presence of God. It's how we experience God with us. It's how God makes himself available to you and I. And believe it or not, like Jesus experienced the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, throughout his ministry. Let me show you just a couple things about this. What Jesus did, he did in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We see right at the beginning of Jesus' public life, the presence of God shows up, just like right at the beginning of the scriptures. Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. That would have been cool to see. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Some people would say, well, just, yeah, like a bird flew down and pooped on his shoulder. Like, what's the big deal? Like, we don't even have, like, language to express what it looks like when God shows up physically present. And so we just relate it to a white bird. I think it was so much more than that. And do you remember what God said? This is one of the best places where you see the whole Trinity show up in one scene. You got the Son of God being baptized. The Holy Spirit kind of comes down. And then God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And don't forget this. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. It wasn't because he was so accomplished that he was pleased with him. It's because he was his son. That last 50 days pressing into the love of God, I just encourage you, live there for a while, like the rest of your life. And then throughout Jesus' life, we see the Holy Spirit actively leading Jesus to do what he did. So right after the baptism, I'll switch gears and go to Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted. People have asked me, like, why did Jesus have to go get tempted, like, for 40 days and fast and all that? Like, did he just take a wrong turn? How did he get there? No, the Spirit of God led him there. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the temptation. Listen, not everything that's difficult that happens in your life happens because God has somehow vacated the premises. Sometimes he leads us into really difficult stuff, and it's for our benefit that we go through that. It's like going to the gym, but I wouldn't know anything about that. And then the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for ministry. You read on, after the temptation, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Like, he's in the power of the Spirit. Everything he does is through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you read through Luke, one of the things that you'll see is over and over again, Jesus walks into a difficult situation where the Pharisees are going to try to test him. And then you'll read Luke write, but the power of God was there to heal the sick. But the Holy Spirit was present, and this happened. It's just fascinating. You see it again and again. And in the Gospel of John, it's said a little bit differently, but John's saying the same kind of thing. In those difficult situations when Jesus is challenged, his answer back to the challengers is, well, I only do what I see God doing. I'm only saying the things I hear the Spirit of God saying. And so there's this like perfect continuity. There's like no like clogs in the system. Jesus is perfectly listening to what God is saying through the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And then, as Jesus is preparing for his death, he tells his disciples this, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you." The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God is available to you and I today. And we're meant to learn from and to rely on the presence of God in our lives. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit who empowers the church. So, who's the church? Let's try that one more time. Did Grandma ever teach you this goofy thing? Here's the church, and there's the, and you open the doors. That's the church. The church isn't the building. This is just like a big barn, okay? We built it like a big barn. We want you to come in and go, wow, this is like, okay. Right? Because you're the church. We're the church. People ask me, where's the vineyard? I go, they're everywhere. Like, I can't go out to eat without running into y'all. And I'm an extreme introvert. And when you call me over to the table and go, hey, I want you to meet my family, you'll watch my face. I just get redder and redder and redder. And I stand there and I go, hi, I'm Michael. Like, I just don't even know what to do. Like, right? It's like, I don't know why I said that. When we're out and about and you see me, don't ignore me. But, you know, like, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. So here's the deal. Like, we're the church. All of us together are the church. Right? So who's the church? Thank you. Yeah, we are the church. So the Holy Spirit empowers the church, us. Yeah, there we go. You got it. I'm gonna give you a tip after. I don't know what it'll be, but third horse in the fourth race, something like that. Okay, Acts chapter 2. Let's look at how the Holy Spirit empowers the church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They didn't have to wonder what's going on. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They spill out onto the street. They're still speaking. They're just like babbling. People are looking at them because it's the day of Pentecost, which is this pilgrimage festival. So there were like probably a couple million people extra in Jerusalem because of this festival. And they all spill out onto the street and they're just babbling in languages they've never learned. And people go, are you guys drunk? And Peter looks at everybody and goes, no, it's only like 9 a.m. Right? Which leads me to believe like, well, later would you have been? Like, you know, anyway, he goes, no, it's only 9 a.m. Right? And, But what's interesting is everybody had come from like all over the then known world to worship God on this pilgrimage festival, and they were all hearing the story of Jesus in their own language, in their mother tongue. Listen, from Acts chapter 2 onward, every step of the way for the early church, we see the Holy Spirit leading and empowering and equipping and changing and making them more holy. We see the people of God, the followers of the living Christ, learning to do the things that Jesus did and learning to live the way Jesus lived. And I don't have time to like show you all of that. It's like gigantic. There's a ton of stuff there. And when you start reading the Apostle Paul's teaching, he wasn't there at this point. Like, he's going to go off and try to persecute and kill these Christians because he thinks they're doing the wrong thing. But eventually, he meets Jesus personally on the road to Damascus. And then the Holy Spirit fills him and begins to change him. And here's what great theologian Gordon Fee writes about the Holy Spirit in the Apostle Paul's writings. He says this: "The Holy Spirit in Paul's writings was always thought of in terms of the personal presence of God. The Spirit is God's way of being present. Whatever else the Holy Spirit was for the Apostle Paul, he was always an experienced reality. The Spirit of God is whom we rely on to live the life Jesus invited us to live following Christ today. We are a Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-filled people. We're meant to live out the fruits of the Spirit in the power of God, in the gifts of the Spirit." And when people ask me, like, how does the vineyard fit into, like, you know, kind of Holy Spirit tradition? I said, we're all in. Like, we want everything that the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives personally and in our community. It's the only way that the church will actually ever be something worth looking at from the outside world, as we're filled and empowered by the presence of God. It's like, how will everybody like know that we're followers of Jesus, the way that we love one another? Well, have you like tried to love one another? Seriously, like, have you tried to like love? There's people from every walk of life that are part of this community. The people who vote in ways that you think are evil, like, some of them are here. You're some of them to them. How do you learn to love like that? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that really directs us, just like in the early church between the Jews and the Gentiles. It's crazy. That's what we absolutely need in our lives, and then to live the life that Jesus called us to live. So I could talk about it like for, as you can well tell, several more hours. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take like 5 or 6 minutes and actually just open ourselves up to experiencing God's presence. Now, that will make some of you nervous, some of you excited, right? To the excited ones, I say, dial it down a bit. To the nervous ones, I say, trust me. Like, I'm not going to let things get weird. I got the microphone. And I trust that God wants to show you his love in a really deep way today, in some really cool ways, okay? So here's what let's do. I'm going to invite you guys to stand up. And I'm going to invite the presence of God. One of the prayers that you'll hear us pray a lot here at the Vineyard is, Holy Spirit, come. It actually comes from the second century of the church, like where it got dialed down to that little piece, Holy Spirit, come, where the fathers and mothers of the early church realized it's the presence of God that we need in our lives every moment of the day. And so I have us stand up just to get into kind of a different physical posture. The other thing that I do is I encourage people just to hold out your hands. Just hold out your hands like you're asking God for something, right? Because if you walk up and ask somebody for something, and you say, hey, could I have that? They're like, no. But when sometimes you walk up and you go, man, like, I really want to spend time with you. I really want to be with you. I want your presence in my, it makes a difference in like how, and it helps align my heart and my head. It helps align that as I just do that. When you read through the Psalms, you'll see that our body posture is often referenced. Worship God, you know, throwing your arms up or dancing or falling on the dirt. And that kind of aligns some stuff in us. And so I just invite people to do that, and then we just pray together. And as we're praying, we're patient and we wait. We don't try to hurry things up. right? Real relationship, you have to kind of, I don't know, slow it down a little bit to really get connected. So let's begin by praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you love us and that you love interacting with us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you bless that child. No, seriously, just really encourage them. Let them experience you, meet all of their needs today. Yeah. And we invite your presence here, God. Holy Spirit, would you come? We need you. We long for you. Lord, truth is, some of us are kind of afraid of experiencing you. And so when I'm praying and God brings things to mind, I just turn those things into my prayer. And so there's things, for some of you, there's things that you're afraid of with the presence of God. And I would just ask you, just pray those things out to him. Say, here's what I'm really afraid of. I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of that. You just lay it out there before him. It's meant to be a relationship where we talk and communicate. And when I do that, I often hear him talk back to me. Holy Spirit, we come before you right now. Would you come? Would you allow us to experience your presence? One of the things that God might dial up for you as we're in this place is he might dial up maybe things in your life that are between you and him. And I have found it doesn't really work to try to just minimize those things, to try to debate God, to try to, you know, justify those things. The thing that works is to say, okay, you're right. I repent of that. I don't want that in my life. One of the things that's often between us and God is unforgiveness that we have for other people. That's often between us and God, unforgiveness. And you're like, I'm just praying. I want to experience God. Why does he keep talking to me about so-and-so? Why does that keep coming to my mind? That's because God's dialing that up. And what forgiveness is, if I could just give a really simple, clear picture, because I think there's some of us really dealing with that today. Forgiveness is not saying what they did was okay. Forgiveness is like ripping up to the IOU that you're holding on to. This is they owe you something. And what you're going to do is you're going to take that IOU and you're going to give it to God. And you say, what they did to me, God, is between you and them. Would you fill me with forgiveness for them? And you're giving the IOU to him. Others of us, you might not experience God just simply because, like what I talked about before in John chapter 3, you haven't experienced what Jesus called being born again. You haven't experienced regeneration. And I would just invite you, just surrender. Use whatever words you're comfortable with, but just surrender your life into God's hands. If you're one of those people who's really disconnected from emotion, you might want to just say, God, I want to learn how to experience my feelings again. Or maybe for the first time ever. I want to experience you being with us. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. Because God's absolutely infinite and we are not. We're very finite. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is when the presence of God begins to come close, you might experience, some of you might experience some sort of physiological, some sort of physical response to that. For many people, when we're doing something like this, you experience the palms of your hands getting like super warm. And I don't think it's just the lights. We didn't turn up the heat. And so then I just say, God, I welcome your presence. I welcome you here. I don't even have to know what's going on. I just welcome you. I want you in my life. Would you begin to speak to me? Let's come, Holy Spirit. If you're on the ministry team, I'm going to invite you to make your way up here. We want to kind of move back into it. I could, again, stand here and do this for a long time because I think it's really cool to experience God's presence, especially together, as quiet as we were in a room of this size. And I think God's doing some really cool things in some of us. And so I want to give us time to actually press into those things that he's dialing up. And so there's a couple big groups of people I want to call forward. The first big group of people is you're beginning to experience God do something. You're experiencing him say something to you. You're experiencing maybe a physical thing. I want you to come up and get some prayer and allow that to go a little deeper. And the folks that are up here praying, they've been through some of our courses. They've received some training. And they would really like to just participate with what God's doing in your life. They're not doing anything weird. They just want to participate with what God's doing and gently pray over you and allow God to continue to do those things. What's really cool is we're not meant to be independent. We're not meant to be isolated. This is part of community. This is really good. So if you're experiencing something from the Lord, just make your way up here and allow them to begin to pray for you. And the other big group is those who are experiencing nothing from the Lord. See what I did there? You feel like you're not experiencing a thing? Dude, don't just like go away and go, well, that didn't work. No, press in deeper. Press in more. Like you don't try like a brand new thing, and the very first time you try it, you fall off the bike, and you go, well, I'm never going to do that again. Well, you get back on, you learn, you keep riding, you keep doing this thing. And so if you're not experienced, if you're really distant, God feels a long way away, come on up here and let us pray with you. And if everybody's praying for somebody, just kind of hang back a minute. Come on up so that we know that you want prayer, and then we'll find some people to pray for you. Or as soon as we get done praying for somebody, we'll pray for you. Just feel free to hang out in here. The worship team is going to lead us in a few more songs. You're welcome to hang out. Holy Spirit, would you allow us to experience your presence in really tangible ways? Would you allow us to get close to you today? And then over these next 50 days, God, would you give every single one of us an experience of your face shining on us, of your love for us? In Christ's name. Feel free to come and get some prayer. Other than that, God bless you guys. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard today.